Welcome to Intentional Living. Our center is wide open today for couples, married couples, to even make their marriages stronger, better. And you know what? To have a strong marriage, it requires one thing: intentional love habits. Those daily, small investments of love through the words that you speak, the actions that you take, and the attitudes that you demonstrate that will make all the difference in your marriage. And that's where we're going to open the phone line to ask you to share with us. What is one love habit, one love attitude, or the words that you speak, one thing that you do that keeps love and respect alive in your marriage, okay? Telephone line is open to you right now. Let's go. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. And by the way, coming up in these next several minutes, I'm going to share with you seven things from one of the world-renowned leaders in marriage, Dr. John Gottman. He calls them the top seven ways to improve your marriage. And if we have time, I'm going to get in some of the top 10 from my list of ideas that you can pick from if you want to develop a habit that makes your marriage work. I've got a top 10 list. I'll get some of those to you. All right. The phone line's open, 888-888-1717. Let's go. Michigan, I think our first caller is from Michigan. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Ellen. I intentionally each morning pray not only for my husband, but I pray before I get out of bed, I ask God to get my mind straight and, you know, to change my frame of mind about how I relate to my husband. So I pray, you know, that God will give me the eyes to see him with the way that the Lord sees him, and to be respectful, and to help me with my tongue, you know, to always speak with him out of respect and with love. Because, you know, after 30 years of being married, I finally learned, maybe 10 years in, that, you know, I can be pretty opinionated as well. And you know, I really have to pray to set my mind straight each morning on how I'm going to treat my husband for the day. And if I don't do it, I find myself falling back into my old ways where I can be stubborn and, you know, almost irritable with him sometimes and short, and that's not the way I want to be. So I ask God for his help each morning, and that really, really gets me through. And that's after 30 years of being married. I'm trying to tell my young daughter-in-law and my daughter that, wake up, girls. You gotta realize this early in your marriage. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Hey, listen, thank you, Ellen. I appreciate that. You know, I've worked with married couples a lot of years. I've talked to many individually. I've talked to them in counseling. I've spoken to thousands in conferences. And I believe this because I've seen it. Marriages many times fail, not because they don't love each other, but because spouses have crummy attitudes toward each other. They wear each other down with negativity. Dr. John Gottman, in all the research that he has done with thousands and thousands of couples, clearly has demonstrated that when criticism is a part or an ingredient in a relationship and marriage, it is one of the major warning signs and predictors that a marriage will not survive. And so I have seen it work. If you want to have a loving, respectful marriage, start doing the little things that are loving and respectful. You've heard me say it, this is not rocket science, folks. If you want to make a relationship work, you invest in that relationship with little deposits of what we call intentional love. And when you make those intentional love habits, those daily small investments of love through the words that you speak, through the small actions that you take, the attitudes that you demonstrate, it's huge. Makes a big difference. So here it is. What's one thing that you do? What's one love habit that you have? Maybe your spouse does it toward you and you're thinking, wow, that does make a difference. It makes a difference toward my respect for them or my love for them, or maybe something you're building into your marriage that's making a difference. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 will get you on. Let's go to Minnesota. We have Danette. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Danette. What I want to do for my marriage is to thank my husband more often and appreciate him. I find that I always want to dwell on the bad things. And the other night I was talking to him, and I think in my heart I really wanted to start a fight. And I asked him how he feels loved. And, you know, I guess I really want to just tell him how I felt love. And his way of giving love is by cooking and doing acts of service towards me. And the thing is, he looked so happy, like a little kid, saying, oh, I just love making you food, and I love doing things for you, that all of a sudden my heart was melted, and I was like, I can't believe I was going to pick a fight with you over I wanted you to treat me and love me in a completely different way. And I found myself thanking him and telling him how wonderful. I was so glad that I have him in my life and that he does these things for me. I just felt the Holy Spirit kind of making me realize I needed to appreciate him. And that is going to be my intention, to continue to appreciate him and thank him when he does, you know, any little thing for me, because it just made us closer that evening. And it was just a wonderful experience, at least for me. I don't think he had any idea. But, well, I guess he felt good because he was smiling. So thank you for your program.
All right. Thank you, Danette, for leaving that with us, your story. Listen, we got a lot of stories to share. As I mentioned, Dr. John Gottman, one of the world-renowned leaders on the science aspect of marriage. In other words, scientifically researching couples over the years to see which couples work long-term, which ones don't. He's got a top 7 list of how to improve your marriage. I want to give you number 1 on his list coming up right after this.
Having instant access to important information is something we've come to expect as part of life in this day and age. And now, you can have instant access to a plan for success in every area of your life with the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Search by topic for audio and video clips from Dr. Randy Carlson on things like marriage, finance, parenting, and more.
I will show you how to create a clear picture for your future.
You can interact with the Intentional Living blog and even listen to the daily program at a time that works for you. Download it today for instant access to things that matter from the Intentional Living Center.
God will be with you through a crisis. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. A crisis is usually something that's unexpected, unwanted, and maybe overwhelming. You know, when the children of Israel were about to enter the Promised Land, with a whole sort of crisis yet to come their way, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Paul was on the Damascus Road, and he had an unexpected moment. Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall. Esther was about to face the king. And you, whatever it may be coming your way, it may be a crisis, maybe yet today, maybe tomorrow. But the good news is that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're going into a crisis, in a crisis, or coming out of a crisis, trust Him today. Thank Him for His presence and His grace. Learn from it. And when you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
That's the Intentional Living Minute. If you go right now to facebook.com/intentionalliving and like the page, you'll be receiving that a brand new one every day in your news feed. It'll be a video, just 60 seconds to encourage you for living intentional for that day. And so I encourage you to do that. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. This is last call for May. We're right at the end of the month, wrapping up May. And I have a very special gift that I'd like to send to you today to say thank you for your love gift to help the ministry of intentional living. It's our Parents' Night Out on DVD. We recorded it at one of our sold-out events where I was talking parenting, and it's our gift to you. Ask for it when you share your gift. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on Donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Talking today about marriage, your love habits. We're going to get to your call in a moment, Cody, and others that are coming in. You're welcome to join us. What's one love habit maybe that you've developed in your marriage, you want to develop in your marriage, your spouse has developed in your marriage, that installment of love that's made a difference? That's the only way to make marriages strong. What are you doing? 888-888-1717. John Gottman is a world-renowned researcher on marriage. And his number one on his list of the top 7 ways to improve your marriage, and this is really important, seek help early. The research is that the average couple that has marital difficulties will wait 6 years before seeking help in their relationship. Keep in mind the fact that the research also shows that the first 7 years of marriage are the time you're most likely to divorce. So you're into your marriage, you're not resolving problems early, you're shoving them under the rug, you're denying they're there, or you bring them up and then there's no resolution, so you go underground and it builds and it builds and it builds. And maybe you're already past that 6 year point and you've about had it and you're thinking, Randy, we're way beyond seeking help early. Well, I guess it's never too late to be early if you start today, right? And so if you're really struggling in your marriage, don't assume it's going to get better. Assuming things will change is really foolish unless you make a change. I mean, that's just sort of common sense. How to make your love work in your marriage. Let's go. Cody, you've been patient in Georgia. Thank you for your call, my friend.
Look, thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. What's your one thing for your marriage?
The one thing that my wife has actually got started to get me to do was praying scripture. She showed me and taught me how to pray scripture, and she prays scripture for me and over me every day. And I've actually started the last few days praying scripture over her.
And now, are these now do you know that she's praying over you? Do you know what the verse is for the day that she's praying?
She does a different verse every day.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what she's feeling. When she feels a certain verse that God has put on her, she writes it down, and then at night she shares it with me. But
cool. What does that mean to you, know that your wife's praying scripture over you during the day?
That means a lot. It really means a lot to me, because it means that she's really caring and worried about me throughout the day. And I just want her to know now that I pray scripture over her as well, and that I really do appreciate her and everything that she does.
Mm. Now, I didn't prep you on this, so maybe I'm catching you off guard, but do you know your verse today that you're praying for her?
The verse that I prayed today, I did not know the verse today, but when I get home, I'm going to look over and whatever my heart feels is where it's going to go.
There you go. I love it. You know, praying scripture is important. There's so many verses. So if you're thinking, man, I can't come up with my own prayer, let scripture speak for you. Very powerful. Thank you, Cody. Be safe there in Georgia, my friend. Appreciate it. What about your love habits? Join us. Let's go to Kaylee in Arizona. Kaylee, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Appreciate your call. What's up? What's your one thing?
Well, my one thing, I'm kind of embarrassed because I feel like it's so easy, and I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. I am words of affirmation, and my husband is acts of service. And so I have always been like, I'm going to have this long, deep conversation with him and make him feel so loved. But the two things that I found have really, like, made him feel loved is making him a cup of coffee in the morning and making the bed. And I was like, that's it? He's like, that makes me feel so great. Thank you so much for caring. And that has made a world of difference in our marriage.
And listen,
so easy.
Man, you got it made. Coffee and making the bed. We got women saying, if that's all I have to do, I'm into this thing. Now, what about the other way? What about him with the words of affirmation? Does he stretch to you in terms of talking and sharing and encouraging you with his words and so on? Do you feel that love from him?
Yes. So it was kind of a challenge at first because he's more like action oriented. So I'd come home and like the garage would be clean and everything would be organized and everything would be done. And I'm like, oh, and he'd just be like, I love you. I showed you. So that was kind of a little bit of a challenge in the beginning. I'm like, no, babe, but just like sit down and like be a human being, not a human doing. And then like I kind of had to like teach him, like, just ask me these two questions, like, how was your day? And like, what are you like, you know, what are your plans or whatever it was? That was, we both really had to learn the other person's love language because it didn't come natural to us at all.
No. Yeah. But listen, Kaylee, if your husband's a frustrated garage cleaner, he can come over to my place and clean my garage. And my wife will appreciate it a whole lot because that ain't my love language.
That's funny. It's true. I know. Yeah. I told my mom that. She's like, Kaylee, that's fine, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, those who don't know, of course, it's a best-selling book, The Five Love Languages by our friend Gary Chapman. He talks about the fact that we all speak kind of different languages, words of affirmation or physical touch and gifts and so on. And the reality is when we get married, we kind of view life differently. We have different experiences. We're touched in different ways. And when we get behind the eyes of our spouse and understand our spouse and their unique way of interacting, what's important to them, what moves them, and then speak that language, as Gary says, that's really showing love to them. Very powerful. How long have you guys been married, Kaylee?
Oh, my gosh. We're really new. We're just under 3 years.
3 years. Listen, the bed's made, coffee's great, and the garage is clean.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you're a long way down the path. So stay at it, Kaylee. Appreciate it. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Have a good day.
All right. That sounds like a real special little marriage going on there. Hey, listen, we're opening the phone line to you. What's one thing that's going on in your marriage, a daily love habit that you're finding really does make a difference? One thing, whatever it is. It could be words that are spoken or actions that are taken, clean garage or a cup of coffee. It's the little things. Let's face it, usually not the big things. It's the little things over an extended period of time that will get you out of debt financially, will get you deeper into love in your marriage, and will help you grow spiritually in your life. It's the little things done consistently over an extended period of time. Give us a call. We'd like to have you join in. 888-888-1717 is the number. And, you know, John Gottman, number two on his list. Listen, you do this one thing and your marriage will improve. I'll tell you what it is coming up here in just a couple minutes.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We see increase in anxiety and depression. We see increase in suicide. And a lot of these things are just a part of the culture in which we live. And yet we come back to what Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Does that verse trouble you as much as it troubles me? Be anxious for nothing. Where did Paul write this? He was in prison. He knew what the end was going to be. You talk about a guy that could have anxiety. There wasn't a college debt or being defriended, you know, in social media. Paul's in prison knowing what the future's about, and he has the audacity to write, be anxious for nothing. That's a powerful thought for us as Christians today, and it should trouble us. How to Rest an Anxious Mind. That's an excerpt from this month's teaching that's already gone out to our member list, those who are supporting the ministry every month automatically, for those of you who've requested that. And so when you join as a member, if you request it, a new CD update from the ministry will be sent to you each and every month. So just go to theintentionallife.com to join us this month. How to Rest an Anxious Mind. Last call for May, by the way, because we can only do this for the month that it's offered. And then the next month, a brand new teaching and so on. Next month's kind of interesting. It's going to be on aha moments. Those moments in life, those aha moments, you have more of those and you'll have less of the oh no moments. That's next month. So new members, current members, that'll be next month as well. So come and join us today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and join Christine from New Lathrop, Michigan, who's recently joined us. John from Scottsdale, Arizona. Thank you. Jimmy from Jasper, Alabama. Thank you, Jimmy. And Barbara from San Luis Obispo in California. Some of our newest members. And I want to say thanks to each of you because when you do, when you support the ministry, you know, you allow us to get the message out and have these kind of results in the lives of people.
The One Thing Challenge is set up so beautifully because Everything was right in order. When I needed the encouragement, it was there. When I needed the strength, it was there. When I needed the, you know, hang on, you're getting there, you know. It was just, it was so perfect. Everything is set up so wonderful. And so by the time I got to 30 days, which flew by, really, and before I knew it, I had done it, and I felt good. I felt like I had actually achieved something. And my husband saw the change, and he was excited, and so then he wanted to learn more. And for there to be free resources out there for those of us who don't have a lot of extra money, it really was a blessing to be able to find it, and I'm ready to give back. I was so blessed by it. I told my husband, I said, we have got to contribute to this ministry. It's been a really, really great experience.
Thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. You're making a difference. And, you know, the fact that she decided to take the one thing challenge and see what happened in her marriage, it can happen in your life, too. Not only in your marriage, it can happen in your spiritual life, your relational life. I believe it. When I wrote the book, The Power of One Thing, I did that because I think so many of us get distracted with a lot of things. And you may be in your marriage today and saying, boy, what about this? And I wish we could improve this. And I wish that were better. And I wish that weren't happening. And you can fall into the area of criticism. Let me ask you, what one thing could you do if you made it a focus in your marriage for the next 30 days would make the single biggest difference in your marriage? It might even help you to call and tell me what that is. And then start doing it. Right? We'd love to hear you. By the way, our lines are busy, but we'll leave it open because we'd like to have you be a part of it. 888-888-1717. I mentioned John Gottman. He's authored many books, done much in the area of research on marriage. In his top 7 ways to improve your marriage, number 2 on his list is edit yourselves, E-D-I-T, edit yourself. What does that mean? He goes on to say that most successful couples are kind to each other. They avoid saying every critical thought when discussing touchy topics. And they will find ways to express their needs and concerns respectfully without criticizing or blaming the other person. In other words, bite your lip might be another way of putting it. If you're married more than 15 seconds, you probably had already a thought you want to say something. Not every thought that you have is necessarily worth saying. There should be a little filter everything runs through. And, anybody in construction will tell you, measure twice, cut once. I tell people, think twice, speak once. Your first thoughts are usually the ones that get you into trouble. Just a second thought, okay? Talking marriage today and habits that make a difference. One thing. Love to have you join in. Let's got a call from Missouri with a story. Let's hear it.
Hi, my name is Desiree. I am being intentional about meeting my husband's need for closeness. Him and I are very different. We have a very godly marriage, and I'm so thankful for that. But we're very different at the same time, and he desires this closeness, cuddling and lovey-dovey stuff that I really don't have much interest in. So I have purchased new bedding for our bed because he likes to cuddle and be close, but I want my space. I want him on his side, me on my side, and that's how I'm comfortable. But I'm going to make a change to meet that need in my husband, that desire for closeness and cuddling. So with our new bedspread that we can share together, and there's lots and lots of prayer for God to change that in me so that I can meet that need for him, I am being intentional about meeting that need in my husband.
And he's going to appreciate it. All right. And then listen, usually it's the other way around, right? That's kind of a reverse of what we often hear, which again shows the fact that we're all different. You want to make a marriage work, you got to appreciate the differences. Respect the differences. Hey, can I share some things with you? I created a list of the top 10 intentionals for love and respect in marriage. Let me give you a few of these. I think the entire list is on our website. So if you miss anything, you can go to our website and go under the intentionals, which are a top 10 list on different topics. Find the one on intentionals for love and respect. But here's a few of them. Number 1, listen without interruption. Feeling heard creates intimacy. Simply listening to your spouse, asking more questions. Tell me more. What does that mean? Why do you think you feel that way? Don't interrupt. Don't correct. Many times I do this even after all the years Don and I have been married. And she'll tell me, you don't listen. Because I've already decided what I think she's going to say, so I'm already ready to respond to it so we can speed up the process to get to the solution. Because after all, I only have a half-hour radio show, right? Sorry, Donna. But listen. Listen without interruption. Feeling heard creates intimacy. Here's another one. Pray together each day for the next week. Creating spiritual intimacy has many benefits. Even at the dinner table, just to be able to thank God for the blessings that you have, praying for your children, praying for what's coming up, spending just a little time together in prayer. Very powerful. Here's another one. Speak only here for the next 48 hours. Maybe you're thinking I can't go beyond a couple of days, but for the next 48 hours, speak only words of encouragement to and about your spouse. You know, you're going to learn a lot about yourself and your marriage. If you catch yourself, edit yourself to say, I'm only going to speak words of encouragement about my spouse to anyone, including to him or her, and only words of encouragement when I speak to them. Here's a thought. Here's a habit you could pick up. Within the next 24 hours, why don't you jump in and help your spouse without being asked? Could be the dishes, putting gas in the car, making the beds, helping with the kids, doing things, just jumping in. It may surprise them, especially if your spouse is a person that those acts of service are important to them. And here's one more. If you're raising children, get on the same page. If you can't do that, at least limit disagreement to behind closed doors. Remember, there is intimacy in disagreement. There can be, if it's done with respect and love. All right, the rest of that list is online. We got to a couple of these points on from John Gottman. We're going to stay here in the studio and leave the phone line open right now. If you have one habit, one love habit you'd like to develop, you have developed, one thing you're doing to show love and respect in your marriage or your spouse is doing, call and tell us, 888-888-1717. We're going to lay all this down, record it for a future program. And on that program, we're going to share some more of these points from John Gottman. This is Intentional Living. We're here for one purpose. We're here to help you figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And we know it pleases Him when He sees His children making marriage work with love and respect. So come and join in the discussion. By the way, you can hear wherever you find your podcast, this program's available for you if you miss any part of today's program. See you next time, right here from Intentional Living.